Ashish, for being here with us today. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. We had round one of ranked choice voting in the primary. Now we're getting ready for round two in the general election. And are Alaska voters getting the hang of this new system of voting? And is it changing Alaska's political landscape? Well, that's the Evening at Egan lecture that we're going to be exploring tonight. And joining us now, two of the presenters from that evening at Egan. Gail Fanumiai is here with us, the Director of State Division of Elections. And Jason Gren is with the Alaskans for Better Elections. Thanks to both of you for joining me today here on Zoom.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it a lot.
Sure. Thank you. And Gail, we have you as well.
Thank you. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, Jason, we'll start with you since your group is the one that sort of pushed for the ranked choice voting. That's my understanding. Do you think Alaska switched to this system of voting? Why do you think it's gotten so much national attention?
Well, no, you're right. Nationally, we've kind of been on the spotlight because this is a big reform. This is a big change. This is, we're the second state that is doing this and really the first state that is combining a open primary with a ranked choice general election. And so I think anytime, there's a big shift, especially in our elections, and that's been on the minds of many Americans and Alaskans for the past several years when it comes to election integrity and things like that. And really, this reform was for voters. This is something that empowers voters in a different way, gives them a new voice, gives them more choices. And so, many voters, Americans across, from California to Maine are looking at this going, is this something we could adapt? Is this something that could help our state? And we get a lot of inquiries from across the nation of people going, hey, we're looking into this. And there's actually a few states that have this new system that we have in Alaska. They have it on their ballot coming in November to say, hey, maybe our state could use something like this. And so we recognize that this is a big shift. But we just came out with a new poll earlier this month. 1,300 Alaskans were surveyed. 85% of Alaskans said, hey, I found the ballot to be very simple. 95% of Alaskans said, hey, I received information about this. And that's a testament to both the Division of Elections and many other organizations. And so I think Alaskans we had very high turnout, very low error rate when it came to the ballots. And so I'm very proud of Alaskans to be able to use this ballot effectively and use their new voice in a brand new way. So I'm very excited for November to see how, now that all the races, all 62 of the races that will be on that ballot, how Alaskans interact with that. So our education work continues, our voter information work continues, but right now we're focused on just getting information out and letting people know that this is a new system for them to utilize the best they can.
And Gail, what were some of the challenges that you saw from the Division of Elections standpoint? I'm guessing this really threw a lot of extra work your way, but tell me about how you approached it.
Well, we really had to focus on educating voters. It's a completely different way of voting than what voters have been accustomed to in their voting time. Before, elections were vote for one, it's a plurality wins, trying to explain to voters how to mark their ballot so it could be counted to the fullest extent they want it to be counted. Just trying to get that word out and getting people comfortable with the new method of voting. And then on top of that, prior to this, we had the pick one primary we had to teach people about in August as well.
Yeah, it was interesting that it was almost like a perfect storm, right? This almost kind of once in a lifetime election anyway, because of the passing of Representative Young. And then on top of it, this new way of voting. It really felt like it was going to be, you kind of had to cram for an exam there.
That's what it felt like. I mean, we had to push our, deadline, our go live date from August up until June for the special primary. And then for the ranked choice, we were about 3 months ahead of our plan. And so we worked really hard. I'm proud of the work the division did. And I think we got the message out to a lot of people.
Gail, can you, as the person that's sort of responsible for administering this, can you just sort of explain how ranked choice voting works for people that are still, maybe even people that voted and don't know if they quite did it right? What's your advice on exactly how it works?
Well, our advice, you know, we don't advise voters how to vote, obviously, but just trying to give them the information so they can vote. Our advice to voters is, you know, study the ballot, look at it. Just make sure you don't mark an oval. You don't vote for a candidate for more than one ranking. You don't vote for candidates, same ranking for multiple candidates. Don't skip two or more sequential rankings, because then that invalidates your ballot. So we were trying to get out to the public the pros and the cons and the, you know, how to make sure your ballot counts. And then also emphasizing, no, you don't have to rank all the candidates. It's up to you as an individual. If you want to rank one, rank one. If you want to rank them all, rank them all.
And in fact, quite a number of people did just rank one because they said, well, that was the only candidate I liked. So that was the only one I ranked.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's just a choice that people made. So I think that going into it, there was a lot of talk about, well, voters are going to be very, very confused. But I think some of the polling, and in fact, some of the polling that Jason referred to, showed that maybe there really wasn't as much confusion as people thought there might be.
Yeah, I think that the confusion was minimized. And I believe that the ballot layout for the primary election, special general election, was very clear. It was very obvious. One side of the ballot was your pick one primary. Then you turned it over and you see the back, and it was a grid style ballot. And that's the type of ballot style you could expect for the general. All the races will be that grid style.
Yeah, that was my next question I was going to ask. What's going to be the difference between what people saw in that special election and what they're going to see during the general election? What are some of the changes they'll see on the ballots? Will it be more complicated, or will it be pretty straightforward?
I don't think it's going to be more complicated. There will just be more of the ranked choice voting races for U.S. Senate, U.S. Rep, Governor, Lieutenant Governor, State Senate, and State House. And then on the backside of the ballot will still be the Constitutional Convention question and your judicial candidates, which are all yes-no votes. So the front side's a ranked choice. The backside is yes-no.
I see. Okay. All right. And let's talk about your lecture tonight. Jason, what's going to be the focus of what you want to talk to people about tonight?
Well, you know, as we talked about, the ballot is fairly straightforward. It's very intuitive. People understand, you know, what it means to pick one, two, three. The polling showed that the great results from the primary election, special election in August showed that. And so now we're really talking about the benefits, talking about you as a voter. You have this new power that really is a unique power that many voters in across America don't have. You get a favorite choice. You get a backup choice. And you as a voter, you get to engage with candidates in a new way. And what does that look like in the next few weeks and months leading into the November election? If a candidate who maybe has never knocked on your door, has never sent you a postcard, has never tried to engage with you, well, now we've seen the power of what that second choice looks like and how it can really elevate a candidate to end up winning. And so you have this, you're in this new position that says, okay, I have my favorite, but maybe between these other two choices, who's going to earn that second choice for me? And understanding that you have to, maybe as a voter, you have to spend a few more minutes researching. And then as a candidate, understanding, okay, I've got to talk to more Alaskans than maybe I'm used to. What does that look like? How do I engage with them? How do I find common ground? And so it's really this new interaction between voters and candidates. And hopefully it will lead to, as we've talked about, less gridlock, less partisanship. Really, those are the goals when we come outside of the election, what that looks like. And so kind of engaging with voters going, hey, reminder, here's how to use your ballot. Here's what it looks like when you're talking to candidates, and then what to look for post-election and post when we get into the legislative session, how you can interact with candidates now who are your elected leaders in a new way.
And Gail, what is it that you want to focus on tonight and have people understand a little bit better?
Well, tonight I'm going to focus on giving like general instructions on different ballot styles. And I mean, how to mark your ballot, what to expect when the division counts ballots, what the reports are going to look like after we count and we do the tabulation, and why we wait the 15 days to do the tabulation.
And just to kind of elaborate on that a little bit, can you go over one more time for folks how do the second choices and third, how do the ranked choices get counted? In other words, If you vote for the person that comes in first place, right, your second vote isn't counted, right?
Well, if you say first place, like who got the most votes,
yes,
is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
If a candidate gets 50% plus one after all the first choice votes are counted, mm-hmm. then you don't even have to go to the subsequent rounds and do the ranked choice tabulation.
That's an interesting point, actually, isn't it? I mean, that if someone does get an over 50% majority, it's just – that's it.
That's it.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
And if that's not it, then it goes until there's two candidates remaining and the candidate with the most votes is going to win. So
the one with the third amount of votes is eliminated, but the second choices of that person are added in at that point.
Correct. To the remaining candidates. That's correct.
I got it. Right. Okay. So really the second votes that were counted of the last election were only counted for the people who voted for the candidate that came in third as their primary
correct.
Choice.
So, like, yeah. So Nick Begich was eliminated. And the second choice votes on those ballots were then redistributed to Representative Peltola and Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating how it all worked out and turned out. It seems like it reinforced the first round of votes anyway. But it was really, as you say, Jason, in some ways has this way of us really starting to think about how we choose candidates and how we consider all the candidates a little bit differently in the future.
Yeah, you know, not every race is going to have three or four candidates. Obviously, across the state, there's some races that only have two people, and it's very simple. You can just kind of pick one, and that'll be the results. But in these cases where three and four candidates are running, as exemplified in the special election, that second choice is very important. So if you're a candidate trying to earn those second place votes from voters, how are you looking at the electorate in your district or across the state? As I mentioned, for many times, candidates go, well, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'll just reach out to those voters. But now I have to think differently and I have to find common ground. And Alaska has a long history of going, you know what? I'm going to look at the person and not the party. And we've elected independents, we've elected Republicans, Democrats, you know, in every different seat. And really, even in Republican strongholds, sometimes a Democrat wins and vice versa. And this new system allows voters to express themselves in a new way and really a better way that is more reflective of Alaska's electoral makeup and our electoral history. And so really excited to see what happens, how voters engage with this in November. And as Gail has, their team has done a great job. We've engaged with organizations across the state. Literally, we've been in Juneau to Fairbanks to Homer to Kodiak, talking to voters, making sure that they, one, feel confident, they know how to fill out the ballot, but two, really feel inspired about this new kind of voice that they have and that they can say, okay, I have my favorite, but just in case my favorite doesn't win, who's my backup choice? Who will I be proud of if my favorite doesn't win that I can engage with in a different way while they're serving in Juneau? And so I think voters got a first taste of that in August. And I think, honestly, I think voters are very excited to engage with the system in November because it puts them in the driver's seat as voters. And they say, no, I have the power and I'm going to use my ballot in a new way, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, just to recap, tonight's Egan Lecture is available on Zoom and it starts at 7 o'clock tonight. So you just go to the UAS website, which is uas.alaska.edu/EganLecture. And then you select the buttons that get you the presentation and you can watch the presentation. And the remaining lectures in the series are actually all going to start being held in person again, but also streamed online. So you can watch them later on YouTube. Both of you, thanks so much. This is the epicenter of the forward thinking in elections is happening in Alaska right now. It's a pretty exciting time to be working in this field and advocating in this field. And thanks to both of you for being here with us today. Gail Fenumeni is the Division of Elections Director, and Jason Gren with the Alaskans for Better Elections. Thanks to both of you for being with me today.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.